Oftentimes, there's swings in the body of Christ and moving in one direction. And even in this walk, there's understandings that are given by my spirit that'll move you in closer. My body will gravitate towards that based upon the teacher and the soundness of the human teacher that they're listening to concerning the doctrine of my word. But I must, for this thing to be birthed and your lives to line up with truth, continue to bring you back to the truth of praying the mysteries, saith the Spirit of grace. Past the entrance into your born again experience, there's nothing greater that I can give you to teach you and to guide you into all truth, saith the Spirit of the Lord. But I'll take his word, one would say, for heaven and earth will pass away, but your word will never pass away. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God, another one would say. But I say unto you, without the teacher, none of this will avail anything for you. For look at my body at large. They're led astray into all kinds of unsound doctrine as a result of having only the word without the teacher. But I say unto you, I have even a greater desire. Past the entrance, I continue by my spirit to remind you the necessity to bring this into your homes and continually preach with loving kindness and by example to your children the necessity to pray the mysteries and to pray in other tongues, saith the Spirit of grace. Halakalosate. Once again, I stand before you on this Sunday morning and bring you back and desire to bring the pendulum back to the understanding of my people. Do not gravitate away from this necessity. It'll save your lives. It'll save your marriages. It'll save your children from impending mistakes in their lives and things that will destroy them, saith the Spirit of grace. Go ahead and move forward with other avenues of moving into me and doctrines of truth. But if you gravitate away from this, all those things will eventually come to nothing. I say unto you, speak the mysteries. Speak the mysteries. Pray continually in the Holy Ghost. For many of you have lost the importance of teaching each other and saying to each other how important this is to pray the mysteries and pray in other tongues. This is not a small thing to me, says the Spirit of the Lord. This is not a little thing. This is not a byproduct. This is not a byproduct of your Christian walk. It is your Christian walk, walking into me. I gave no other one to guide you. And I have this only to guide you as he prays the mysteries and guides you into all truth. And that truth is not just the mysteries concerning my word, but I desire to guide you and navigate your life into the direction that I want you to go, says the Spirit of the Lord. You cannot pray too much in this language. You cannot exhaust it, says the Spirit of the Lord. I say unto you, say unto your children, and say unto your fellow believers, and say unto your spouses, that we ought to often pray and continue to lift up our voices, speaking in other tongues, says the Spirit of the Lord. Herakerese. Bala onde chala ole makiridioso makrese diata basote. My son had no power outside of the power to walk in righteousness, no power to heal the sick or cast out devils or to heal the blind until I baptized him and filled him with my Holy Spirit. Now I say unto you, as he was, so are you now in this earth, in this planet. So walk in this truth. Speak the mysteries. Those of you that have not yet been filled, seek the baptism like hidden treasure, says the Spirit of the Lord. Mahalo olehari ikarasote de itia. Do not seek another mystery past the necessity of the baptism, says the Spirit of the Lord. Heahalo olesete. Meesete. Any yeah buts. Yes, but is a contradiction to the truth that I'm telling you, says the Spirit of the Lord. I brought this as a foundation, as a catalyst into revival. And I mean for this pendulum to stay in a place where the mysteries are prayed, and the mysteries to pray, to be prayed, are taught continually among you, says the Spirit of the Lord. I cannot put an over importance to the necessity for you to continually gravitate in the Spirit and pray the mysteries continually, says the Spirit of the Lord. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Mahalakaresete. Father, we thank you and we praise you because we know that we have no wisdom of ourselves. And if there's anything that I desire, it is a desire to, by your grace, to humble myself under the mighty hand of God that I might be exalted. Not exalted in the eyes of man, but exalted by God to do the works that he did. To walk in the love that he walked in the power of the Spirit. And be crowned with the crowning of loving kindness and tender mercies. And to walk in the fullness of everything that you are, Father. This is my and our desire to do together. And I give you all the praise and glory. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, there's no need to get in a hurry, because what we want more than anything else is for him to come and to be. I don't know why. Well, I do know why. That would be a misnomer. The last two Sundays, I was like, oh, whoa, not again, but it's okay. What an emphasis that he's placing on tongues for the believer. A friend of mine, and many of you that know him, Derek Iha, or Iha, which is the, he's the utility man. He does everything at the prayer center, which will be back, as in physical location at some point. And he's been responsible for helping get the word out, maybe more than anybody else that at the prayer center through the years, through getting out what was then tapes and books. But he and his wife, Diana, faithfully served the Lord all those many years. Well, leading up to, he's been there for, you know, since Methuselah was born. But he went to Pastor Dave one time. He said, would it have the same results if I actually paid my kids to pray in tongues? I mean, that, you know, that sounds like a kind of a carnal thing, like, wait a minute, exchange of money for doing something spiritual. And Dave said, oh, yeah, absolutely, do the same thing. It worked just like it works for anybody else. Because you got to understand that when you're praying in tongues, you're leaving your mind out of it. You're leaving your emotions out of it. Even in wrong intentions, like I'm doing this, even intentions don't desecrate that place. Even wrong intentions. Sometimes people will say, well, I wouldn't be doing that for the right reason, so I'm not going to do that. Come on. Why do you think he gave you the Holy Spirit? The Holy Spirit is the one who stands on the place that we now call, which would have been a shadow of the holies of holies. That would have been the shadow. There was the outer court. Us Gentiles, we couldn't even get in there. But then there was the outer court. Maybe we could get in there. But the inner court, strictly for the Jews, for the Israelites. But then there was a place behind the veil that was the holies of holies. The moment that you got born again, the holies of holies stepped inside of you and changed you instantly. And so the mysteries, he that speaketh in unknown tongues speaketh not unto men or to man, but unto God. Howbeit in the Spirit, he speaketh mysteries. So what does that mean? You're speaking out of you're not speaking out of your brain. You can know this. Well, I'd do it. I'd come to church, but my intentions might be wrong. Come, throw yourself in the mix. Something will jump on you. I'd pray in tongues, but I don't know. Listen, you can. Well, 1 John says, if I don't love my brother, I'm not going to. I know that. But listen, how are you going to change those intents? You might have just cussed the paint off the wall. You might sit down with an ugly, 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 I hate him. I wish I'd have never married him. I despise him. I hate her. I hate them. I don't like Pastor Bronk. And I go to church just to, it's habit now. Sit down with ugly, ugly all over you. Because that's on the outer court. That's in the mind. That's in the emotion. It has no place. What is truth is this. He's making intercession for you with groanings that cannot. And he that knoweth the mind of the Spirit, which is the Spirit, maketh intercession for the saints, us plural, according to the will of God. Hallelujah. Where does he do that? Can I pay my kids? Yeah, they're sitting there. Mom, will you give me $2 to pray this hour or 30 minutes or 15 for a kid? Yes. They could just be kurukadesete. They could almost be, now I don't recommend this, they could almost be on their iPad or something, but if they're praying in tongues, what's going on the inside, the mysteries are being prayed and it's left out of the realm of the soul realm. So he's praying that one day they'll come to a place where they'll know him face to face, put the iPad down, put the intentions down. Just like confession. You've got to believe it in your heart before it'll come to pass. I know that. But somehow you got to start. You got to start not believing it. Because you can't get there to the start unless you begin to do something. Mahalosode. So I'm sitting here. You know how many times I've sat down and just felt like that the devil was in the room. There was more devil in the room than the Holy Ghost. And sometimes I felt like the devil. But begin to pray. Pray against all the weight that was on me. So this again, don't be like a dictator to your kids. Like, you got to do this. But get them filled. What? Let them see your example. Let them see mom, dad walking around. Like prayer. They know you're doing it. And then tell them, this will change your life. You'll marry the right girl. You'll get the right job. God will watch over your life. You'll love God more than sports. You'll come to love God more than sports. I want their name to be plastered on the billboard. That's my son. Maybe one day they'll have Tom Brady's money and fame and they'll beat his Super Bowl record. Yeah. And go through divorce after divorce. Crumble after crumble. Torment after. Do you know the billionaires of this world are some of the most miserable people on the planet? The most miserable. Masakatele. Michael Jackson, worth billions, I guess. He was so tormented in his mind, a doctor had to come and put him in some kind of incubator kind of thing every night and inject him with some kind of formula to put him to sleep so he could sleep to get the torment and demons that tormented his mind. We've got the answer. We've got the answer. The answer's not in money. It won't bring happiness. The answer's not in success. The answer's not in fame. The answer is in this born-again nature that He's given us. The answer is in this baptism of the Holy Spirit that He's given us. And if we can sell this, first sell it, God, how can I get this over to my kids where they'll want it? How can I get it over to my grandkids where they'll want Him? Because it's going to save them. Oh, my God. No, let's get them a good education. Let's get them a good PhD. Do you know the kids? I said to Candy the other day, and then Candy kind of corrected me in a good way, and she was right. And I said, you're right. You're right. I said, my God, we were talking about colleges and universities. I said, I pray to God, none of my grandkids ever go to a university. It's so demonic, the spirits that are there. You can send good Christian men and women to those places. And when they return, but Candy said, and she's right, but honey, we need doctors. We need Christian. And Mario hit it, Mario Morello. He said one of the things that messed up the body of Christ at large right now is everybody thinks they're called to the fivefold. He said there's just a small, really, and really according to Scripture, there's just a poquito, small amount that's actually called to do what I'm doing. Real small. And he said the church has been convinced, I'm supposed to be a preacher. I've got a Facebook and I'm supposed to be a preacher and give out doctrine. No. You're supposed to be salt and light. He wants you to have a foundation underneath you that you could send them to universities and get the best education to become whatever surgeon they needed to be, whatever lawyer there needed to be, whatever great scientist there needed to be, and walk out of there. Somebody said it was the university. No, it was their foundation. At some point, they didn't have enough to count the cost. You pray. Now listen, because you're not going to find that perfect. You're not going to get that kind of high secular learning necessary. The problem is, like the Bible college I went to, now it's a university, and they just left out God, basically. And all the big universities, Yale, Harvard, all of them, the ones, they started out Christian. They start out Christians. But we need salt and light. We need the We need the professionals. So I was corrected, and I was rightfully corrected. But I know the danger that's in those universities. Hey, you can back half. I think half the kids at my college, my Bible college, was not saved or backslid. They were. You could buy dope at that college just like you could buy at any place. We're in the world, but not a. I'm going to go find a place where it's just perfect. No, you can't. No. Hallelujah. I'm going to cut this off from my TV. I'm going to cut. There's certain things that I won't have. But even the channels that you do have that you think's okay, they're spending that. I can promise you, bet me. I can promise you, I can show you where that channel is buying shares in other places that we would call unchristian investments. In other words, you cannot turn that thing on, and I'm not saying don't have one. You got to go according to conscience. But if you think, well, I don't have that channel in my home, and I don't have that, forget about it. The ones that you do, they're associated. Don't you understand? They're in a conglomerate, and they buy shares in other things, and those shares are feeding. It's a time to walk in the Spirit, to be in the world but not of the world. We need. All right, baby, I'm sending you off. I'll see you back in 8 years. You got to become a doctor because God's called you, not because daddy or mama. But you know what? You're going away with praying in tongues, fasting, seeking God. You're going to have some temptations. There are going to be some frat parties and different things they're going to have. They're going to come and invite you. Come on, get loose and get crazy. But something on the inside of you. Because you're called. You're chosen. You're chosen. Hallelujah. Where do I go from here? Because I didn't even know when I stepped out here hardly. I'm supposed to go with that. We love you out there. Hallelujah. Come to Immokalee and visit us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We worship you, Jesus. I'm supposed to, and I will continue on as he teaches me, guides me, to talk to you about a place in the Father. Everything that we try to get across here is not to be taught for theory or theoretics. If you can't take the practical use of it, the everyday use of the reality of the revelation, I don't want you to go, wow, that was a great revelation. Okay, how do you take the application of that revelation and use it on Monday when all hell is coming against you? Well, Jesus said in John chapter 14, you can go ahead and turn there with me. It's kind of where we were kicking off the last couple of weeks. I love 14 through 17 chapters. Well, 13 is where it begins, but let's just look at these three verses. And then we'll look at some other scripture here in just a moment. Jesus said, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God. Believe also in me." This is John 14, verse 1. Believe in me. Believe also in me. "In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also." So, I think we started this on Wednesday night and then went back kind of, it was different for us to start go ahead and do it on a Sunday morning. Unusual was the word. But we laid down on that Wednesday night all those like four different words to define from the word and from the Greek that Jesus was not talking about a physical location that he had gone away to prepare. In other words, it's not talking about, and I think that you understand this, but I'm not going to make fun of anybody. I mean, this is the way I grew up. Jesus is up in heaven building a mansion for you. If you do good and get born again, follow him, you get a mansion. What, to live alone in? By myself? Candy can't come? Well, there's no marriage or given in marriage. We're all just going to be brothers and sisters. Well, I know that we were married? Absolutely. Well, I know that we had kids together? Absolutely. Hey, the great thing about heaven, I don't know how it's going to happen. The guy that gets there and truly repents and follows God, he can see his six wives and 18 children, and nobody's wanting to kill each other. Get them all together here, see what happens. They'll all just be brothers and sisters. But he's not going away. That word mansions by no means is talking about anything physical. It's a spiritual, it's the word dwelling, it's the word habitation, it's the word a place inside the Father. Now we discovered this, that Jesus always had that place. But he went away to prepare that place for us. But that's a little bit, throws you off a little bit, because when you say I'm going away to prepare a place, you kind of think, okay, I'll be in preparation until I get back, and when I get back, I'll receive you into myself. But that preparation play, that preparation has already been done. It's not a continual preparation. It's like he's still interceding, will you accept them, Father? No. He accepted them. The total thing was done. It was capiche. It was done. It was complete. We found in two scriptures in the book of Hebrews where he sat down, and when he sat down at the right hand of the Father, it's over. So he's no longer in a place of preparation. He's saying, I'm going away to get the completeness of this done. And it has been complete. But the place in the Father, positionally, first of all, is the born-again spirit. That's it. That positional foundation, I'm providing this. Well, his resurrection, of course, provided. But why would he say, I go away to prepare a place? So it was the completion of that, him going away and sitting down at the right hand of the Father, that made everything complete. Now that place has been provided for you and for me. But we find that Jesus always had that place, because he didn't go away to prepare that place for himself. Now, I will say this just as a poquito advertisement. Gary Carpenter's been teaching on, just say go back, get on his website, listen to the last 15 lessons. They're so good. He's not teaching on that place, but he is teaching on Jesus the vine. And how that he's changed his ministry from the time he went from, you'll have to get it, I'm just advertising it. His ministry has changed. His position of ministry to the body has changed from his place on earth while he was on earth to now where he's at in heaven. And now we get to be the place that he was at, the position that he was at. Go listen to it. Good stuff. But let me say this, that place is more, it's far more than just the born again, as in position. The knowledge, see, what he wants for us is you can't just teach this. It has to be experienced. No amount of revelation knowledge that's not engaged in won't provide this. You can be fat, your head can be fat, or your spirit even can be fat with, I can repeat this back to you, I know it. But unless you engage in it and it becomes, I can't lay hands on you and get this done. You can't memorize enough scripture to get this done. You can have a million revelations, as in, I understand, in your spirit. It won't get it done. It's a place in Him that provided for Him. Let me see if I can find it, because it's coming up in my spirit. It's in 14. He says, when Philip said to him, Lord, show us the Father, and it'll suffice us. And Jesus said, I have been so long with you, yet thou hast not known me, Philip. He that has seen me has seen the Father. And how sayest thou, show us the Father? Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very works' sake. My God, that's where we want to come to. Thank you so much. Boy, you studied hard and meditated long on that, didn't you? Yes, that was a great revelation. That's a great revelation. Now, can you step from the pulpit and lay your hands on the sick and confirm what you just taught? Can you do that? Well, and I'm not saying that the truth is not still the truth, but in Jesus' economy, he would say things like this: if you don't believe my teaching because of just the teaching alone, believe me because look what I've been doing. Look what I can do. Can you do this? Can you do this? Can you do this? That's what we're after. It's a place in the Father that's not just provided by the born again. Born again starts it. That's the threshold. But it's a communion in the Father that Jesus says, I can do, believe me for the very work's sake. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go to my Father. Whatsoever. Now listen, we can herald this, we can cheer this, we can get a bunch of people in bleachers and say, whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. What does that sound like? Now we could go on, and I know he said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments, and there's a whole teaching on that too. We can't teach 14, 15. See. But listen, what are we after? We're after walking in a place. If I can get this over to you, this is my assignment, to get this over to you in another way of example, to say Jesus lived in this realm. He lived in this dimension. He lived in this sphere. He lived in this mindset that was outside of his mindset of the mentality of just the natural mind. But he was always inside of the Father, and he was always inside. What was that prophecy, one of those prophecies? Move out of my authority. Move out of my authority. In other words, and part of that was, he said, when you get a word, or when you have weight on everything, especially when something comes, I'm still not happy with myself completely, and I'm never satisfied. But when I hear real disturbing news, I don't go, silly with it. But there's still at times, or maybe something will happen with the kids, and I'm way past where I was at one time, like yelling or this, that, and the other, or what's going on, or way past that. But he's teaching us that in everything, you step back. You can. It only takes a second to step back inside of the spirit realm and judge everything. But if you go forward in your soul, you'll miss God every time. Then you'll say things. He said, if you say things out of your How many of us, I don't want to see a show of hands, how many of us have said things, unmeditated things to our brothers and sisters? What do you think Pastor meant by that? Well, I think he meant blah, 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 blah. Wait a minute. Did you step back into your spirit and then speak out of your spirit? He said, when you've said things that are unmeditated and you didn't watch your words before you spoke, go before me, ask for forgiveness, get cleansed, and go on. Hallelujah. It's very important. Listen, I don't know about you. I bet you are, because if you pray in tongues, I'm finding out, my God, I so want to get rid of my opinions. I want to kick that old dog. Opinions, you got to die. All I want is his mind. Because there's no life. There's no crest of glory that comes out of anything that's in me. Hallelujah. Well, Jesus was always in this place. What do you mean, Pastor? You can't have an opinion about something? No, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about being adamant about getting your point across. You don't believe me? Or you don't believe what I say? Or this is not your view? Okay. And I don't even want to say it with an attitude, okay. It's okay. The truth will prove everything out. The truth. I don't have time. He said, we won't even argue. What we're called to do, we won't even. Tongues are not for today. I'm already baptized with the Spirit. Let's sit down and talk about this. Okay, excuse me. I'm sorry. I wish I had. Maybe in another lifetime I'll sit down. Because all you want to do is argue. I'm just going to, excuse me, can you step aside? Because there's another one here that needs to be pulled out of a wheelchair. That's what we're after. Did Jesus have some kind of mentality that he was always in a dimension with his Father? Well, let's turn to John 3. That's John 3:16. That's the place where we find John 3:16, but we're not going to read that. But that's a good one. John 3 says this. Jesus is, of course, having this conversation with Nicodemus, the Pharisee that was a good Pharisee that came to him looking for direction because he was watching the works that Jesus did. And he said, no man can do these works except God be with him. We'll just read it. He says here, or the word says here, and there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, that is teacher, we know that thou art a teacher, come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? And Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit. In other words, the first birth is the breaking of water. It's just the coming out the birth canal. The second one is the spiritual birth by the Holy Spirit. He cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of flesh is flesh, and that which is born of spirit is spirit. And marvel not that I said unto thee, you must be born again. And then he says unto him, he's trying to teach him spiritual things. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is everyone that's born of the Spirit. Nicodemus answered and said unto him, how can these things be? Jesus said unto him, art thou a master of Israel, and knowest not these things? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, we speak that which we know, and testify that which we have seen, and you receive not our witness. If we have told you earthly things, and you believe not, how shall ye believe if I tell you of heavenly things? And no man has ascended up unto heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man which is in heaven. Now let's look at that verse. Let's pick on that verse for just a moment. And you can look up again in just a moment as I'm going to read it. No man has ascended up unto heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man which is in heaven. Let's talk about that just for a few moments, if you'll give me your attention, please. It almost sounds like King James that Jesus is saying, no man has ascended, but he that already went back up. In a certain twist of words, it can sound that way. But that's not what he's saying. He's saying, there's no man that's come to bring forth this except he that has descended. There's no man ever went to the throne of God and received this commission to set the world free. Dave used to say this, you can't get a spiritually dead Savior from a spiritually dead gene pool to bring life. You had to go outside of the box. Jesus is saying, I'm the one that's come outside the box. No one has ever gone and received that commission. Nobody's ever ascended. And when he said no one, we understand up until this point, all departed spirits were living in a place called Abraham's bosom. It wasn't his physical chest. It was called a comforting place. Abraham was the overseer kind of that place. Millions of people were there. David, Moses, all the patriarchs that made it. They were all there. And it was a place, and as far as geographics go, is underground, but it wasn't like a cave that they were dwelling in. It was a very, very paradise. It was a paradise place. There was light and probably no telling what paradise looked like, but it was very comforting. But there was the other side of it, which was Hades or hell. We know the rich man. We've read that story out of Luke. But here, Jesus is saying nobody has ascended. In other words, I'm the first one to come down. I'm the first one. Somebody said, well, I know Elijah, he went up to heaven. No, he went up in a whirlwind, but he didn't continue to go up. He wound up where every other Old Testament saint was at, waiting out the dispensation to bow their knee. And every single one of them, Jesus went and preached to the souls in captivity. And 2 Peter tells us that he went to preach to those who were one time in a place of disobedience, but yet they were held captive. Jesus went there. Praise God. Let's see, if somebody that's just risen from hell and on his way to earth to make his physical resurrection steps out of hell, comes over to where you're at and says, I'm the one, boys, that you've been waiting for. Would anybody like the breath of life? I just received it myself. I was once alive, then I died for your sins, and I've been over there for a little while suffering. But the Holy Ghost, if the same Spirit that raised up Christ from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall likewise quicken your mortal body. That same spirit of life. The Holy Ghost brought the Spirit of life, which was the born-again Spirit, raised Jesus up, and he steps across, walks over there and says, okay, would anybody like to get born again this morning? I don't think any of them said, you know what, I'll just wait for the second load coming out. Oh, that was the biggest mass conversion of all. They all got born again. And then he led captivity, according to Ephesians chapter 4, he led captivity captive. And that's when he gave gifts unto men, and all the gifts of your callings and those kinds of things. But Jesus said something incredible here in this. He said, and he wasn't talking in a riddle, he said, and I have to read it so I don't muddle it up here. He says, and no man has ascended. We understand he's saying, I'm the one that's come. I'm the one. There's no man ascended and received this commission except me that's come down. But he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man which is in heaven. Now he's not talking circles. He's not talking riddles. And he's not even talking about his deity here. Now we know that Jesus was God in the flesh, but he never walked out in his Godship, in his deity. In other words, he never resisted sin, nor never performed a miracle. Philippians 2 said he laid down that divinity. It doesn't mean that he kicked it to the curb. It means that there was some kind of agreement in the Godhead that Jesus, or the Word then, said, you know, when I get there, when I'm born as a baby, and I grow up inside that body. See, the body, the man Jesus, came into existence. He came into existence. There wasn't a man Jesus walking around in heaven that shrunk to molecular size, disappeared, and then was planted in the womb. There was no man Jesus prior to the man Jesus on this earth. And then God breathed life into him, the same life that he received, that he gave to Adam, he gave to his only begotten. Only begotten. So he got a spirit, a human spirit, just like yours. What an incredible person. This guy, if I can say it respectfully, this guy's deity that really is just stays dormant, doesn't do anything except live in the body. But then he's got a human spirit just like yours, and then that human spirit gets baptized with the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. An incredible walking. But he says this, even the Son of Man that is in heaven. Now, he didn't originate in heaven, as in he was there first. He come into existence here. His body was made by the Holy Ghost touching the womb of Mary. He had to go in there. He was made of a woman. In other words, he got his body from Mary. His body was not supernatural. Now I'm going to be real nice. You don't believe the Father's got, you know, physical seed that he put in Mary. The Father's a spirit. You think bigger than that. The Holy Ghost just tapped one of those eggs, and the molecular structure of Jesus' body came into existence. Then his spirit came, his born again. We call it born again, but it always was born of life. Spirit came into that body. And then at 30 years old, he was baptized with the Holy Ghost. What an incredible person this Jesus is. Hallelujah. I think I can trust him to carry my weight of salvation. But he's telling Nicodemus, no man's come but he that is descended. In other words, I've been sent by the Father. My spirit has come from the Father. It came into existence here on this earth, my human spirit. Even the Son of Man, anytime you see the Son of Man, he's not talking about deity, he's talking about his humanity. Even the Son of, if we said the Son of God, I might think, okay, yes, somehow in his deity, he's there with the Father. But when he says Son of Man, he's talking about just like you and I. He said the Son of Man, which is in present tense, in heaven. Well, he's not physically in heaven. His body's not glorified, and he's not even there. But he's talking to a man named Nicodemus, and he's not trying to kind of pass something over to be like, I really want to sound spiritual here. He's saying, this Son of Man, this one that has been birthed by the Father, the breath of life has come into this mortal body. I've come into this as a Son of Man. My mom's Mary's flesh, God anointed it and created my body, and then my father sent forth life into that body. But that Son of Man, just like we are, no different than we are, he's in heaven. What is he talking about? He's talking about a place, a realm, a dimension that he was talking about in John 14, that if we stay in that place, that the works that he did will do also. It won't be by theory. It won't be by just revelation. It'll be by absolutely engaging in that place. Jesus always walked around in that place, always. Was he spacey? No. He still ate and drank and had to wash and go to the restroom and do everything. I'll bet you that he had a sense of humor, but his inward man was always monitoring. I got to walk in this place that is of the Father. Yes, I'm born again, or yes, I have the life and nature of my Father, but I'm always monitoring, and he would go to that place every day or on a continual basis and worship his Father, or pray to his Father, and continually stay in that place. And somebody said, well, that sounds really spacey. Listen, isn't that exactly what he said to us? Go to Ephesians chapter 2. We're supposed to be in that place just like he was. Thank you, Jesus. Look at verse 1, chapter 2. And it says here, Paul says, and you hath he quickened. That means a quickening, like being birthed of the Spirit, born again, who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in times past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, in the lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. The world, God loves the world. He sent his only begotten Son, but they're also children of wrath. They're by their own nature, they're the children of wrath. In other words, they are contrary to God and stand aloof from the Lord. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherein he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace are you saved. And look at this. I love this. And has raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly, italicized places is not there, in Christ Jesus, but it's not a misconstruing of the meaning thereof. It says that Christ has caused us to sit by that quickening in heavenly places. So I don't have to imagine myself as, you can have that imagination, I guess, that you're there, but my imagination is that heavenly place is right here. I'm always seated with the Father. Well, is there a benefit in that? What are you talking about? Jesus said in John 14, the works that I'll do, but he prefaced it and said, I'm going to provide a place for you like I've presently got. That's what I've got this place. I'm not going there to provide this place for myself. I've got this place. I'm going there to provide that place for you. And it's not just born again. It's a place where all of the intimacy of God flows to you, so that when you say, blind see, lame walk, the works that I did, you'll do also and greater, because I go to my Father. This is a place, and then he tells Nicodemus, I'm in that place. I'm standing here looking at you, but I'm in. Nicodemus is like, oh, brother, you're telling me born again, and now you're telling me you're in a heavenly place. I'm looking right at you. Somebody said, no, that's not what he meant. Well, then why did he say in Ephesians that he's quickened us so that we would be seated together in Christ in heavenly places or in heavenly? We've got this same place that we can move out of. What does he go on to say there? What does Paul go on to say there? He says this. And hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness towards us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship. Watch this. Look at this. We are his workmanship. When was the workmanship? The moment, 2 Corinthians 5:17, that you got born again. Behold, all things become new. That's the work of God. All things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. That's his work. The Holy Spirit did a work. We're His workmanship, created in Christ unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Hallelujah. This place that we've received, now this is vital. This is vital. You can read through this and get just a snippet. And what is Paul telling us? We're His workmanship. We've been created. In other words, my spiritual DNA is just like His. There's no difference between me and Him. There's no difference. I'm His workmanship. I've got the same quality spiritual genes that Jesus had. In fact, I got to tell you this. No, I was too ugly. God loves me just as much as He loves Jesus. Just as much. Now, how do I know that? Jesus said, you'll no longer don't ask me to pray for you. Now the Father loves you directly and will answer your prayers directly because you love me. Now you're in me. I don't have to be the one to ask the Father for you. He loves you just like He loves me. Hallelujah. Somebody said, I know I'm loved of God, but boy, Jesus is special to God. We're on the same, not in authority, but as far as agape, He loves me just as much as He loves Jesus. Just as, my God, that ought to make us run a 4-minute mile. Hallelujah. Jesus, my God. But we were created. We were created. I like the way Pastor Dave used to say this. We were created unto good works. In other words, His workmanship created us. It's a natural flow out of that place in the Father for good works to flow out of us. Dave would say it like this. Good works did not create me. I was created unto good works. What does that mean? It means a lot. It means more than what you know. Do you know how many congregations and people that love Him, truly love Him, but are always trying to figure out something that they can start to do for Him? A good feeding program, a good witnessing program, a good... Now, if He asked you to do something, but here's the thing, your DNA created you unto good works. Good works did not create you. The reversal has come in the modern day church. They're, because they don't know Him in face to face and spend time with Him in intimacy and go to that place, they're always trying to figure out, listen, I don't want to brag. All I can do is give you an example. I don't know how long it's been. All I know, it's been a long time. It's been years, probably, now years, since I've sat in prayer and said, Lord, what can I do to please You? As in, what do I need to start? What do we need to start at the church? What program or what's something we need to do to... I don't even think that way. In fact, it don't even cross my mind. I don't even have that thought. My place is I sit in Him and worship Him, and I know that all works will come out of that place. All things will be birthed. When you go and your preface is, what can I do to begin to please You? You love Him, but then you begin to offer something to Him to please Him. It gets the whole thing discombobulated because you're trying to figure out. And Paul said, good works did not create you. Your DNA is to know Him. And out of Him, good works will flow from you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, I'm trying to continually ask Him, listen, just get in His presence. I'll cross any sea He tells me to go. I've crossed Him before. I'll go any place He tells me to go. I know that I will. And He didn't even, the times He told me to go and cross different oceans, He didn't even say it like with a resounding voice. It was just a whisper. I want you to go. And out of that whisper, I went. But those works, I didn't go so I could make him happy. I went because out of that intimacy that I was already having with him. People sit around and say, What you need to do is go into him, and everything will be birthed out of that. You'll just be walking around. He'll say, go talk to that person. You'll go talk to him. They'll say, you know, I got this. They'll be the one. They'll start spilling their beans, their guts. But that'll give you the authority. Look, this doesn't work. Wow, I know. You know, can I tell you my testimony? I prayed and God did this. Before long, you'll be like, Jesus, what would you have me to do? Would you like me to do so? Oh yeah. Will you pray for me? Hallelujah. Let me read one more thing to you and then I'll let you go. And I can't tell you enough the reality of what I just described to you. It's not that I've arrived, because I'm finding out that he hasn't yet released, but it's getting close. It'll turn on a dime. It'll come, and you'll say, how did this change so quick overnight? So many things happening, like something cranked up and let out. You'll say, where's God been? He's been here all the time. It'll be like, my God, all these things happening at once. But when I say day after day, month after month, year after year, I'm not trying to figure out any works. Like, what should I go do? Or what should I start? Maybe we should start this. Or maybe it doesn't even dawn on me. It doesn't even come into my mind. What is in my mind is that if I sit and worship him and stay in him, the works will be manifest. They'll come out. Now, this is excerpts from the face-to-face documents, and it's not in sequential order in even this chapter. So I just took certain paragraphs out. And this is from face-to-face, and I'm not even going to do, I'll just tell you, go to Gary Carpenter's website. You'll find it there. That's as far as I'll go in advertisement. The works of the Father. For you to enter the Lamb's room of fellowship, this is the Holy Spirit's dialogue to the author, I must bring you the mindset of Christ in two stages, says the Spirit of grace. I will first speak of the mindset of Jesus of Nazareth during the days of his early ministry in the flesh. Then I will speak to you of the mindset of Christ Jesus, who is the Lord of all, as he is seated at the right hand of the Father in glory. The mindset of Jesus was, I and my Father are one. I have no life apart from the life of my Father within me. My meat is to do the will of the Father who sent me. I must be about my Father's business. I have no plan, no agenda, no will of my own, apart from my Father's will who sent me. I and my Father are one. Jesus of Nazareth reckoned himself to be a vessel for the Father's life, for his Father's life. He reckoned himself to be a vessel for his Father's will. He reckoned himself to be a vessel for his Father's dominion. He reckoned himself to be a vessel through whom the Father could work by the Spirit of the Father to restore all things to the will of the Father. Jesus of Nazareth reckoned himself to be the vessel of the Father's authority. Now that's it. Part of this is trained. Part of it has to be trained. None of us have arrived. You're going to vacillate while you're in this training. But if you can believe that you're in this place, that Jesus said, I'm in this place, And then Paul said, you're in this place. It's a room, it's a dimension, it's a place where you have to monitor it and you have to grow up in it. Intimacy is one of the fastest vehicles. Don't forget praying in tongues. My goodness, the Holy Spirit's been telling us the last two Sundays. But monitoring that place everywhere you go, I'm still way shy of it. I'll get to a place and it's a fun place. He wants us to have fun. But he wants us to live inside this sphere all the time. Ha, 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 beach time, mountain time, every time all of a sudden something happens, somebody brings you something out of the ordinary or something happens. Oh my God, but nothing catches you. Nothing's supposed to catch you unaware. Nothing. Like, oh God, this is a fun day. I'm fleshing out today. No. There's no more flesh out days. No more flesh out days. No more flesh out days for revivalists. Flesh out days are done. They're done. God, let them die, not a slow death, a quick death. You can watch your football. I watch it. You can watch this, Maybe I'll get one game on Saturday, something like that. I used to have more than that. Well, not so much, but nothing's like, this is me time. He'll give you me time that satisfies you so much, and you're like, oh, I'm so rested. I feel so good. But at any moment, in me time, if you're in that place of the Father, he can come. I need you. Step out. That's the place, this heavenly place that Jesus walked in. Oh, where was Jesus that night Nicodemus came? Lord, somebody wants to see you. It's a Pharisee. Oh, they always deride me. But Nicodemus had something. Jesus was always ready to minister. Hallelujah. Jesus of Nazareth reckoned himself to be the vessel of the Father's authority, the vessel of the Father's will, purpose, and authority. Jesus of Nazareth would have considered it unthinkable to attempt ministry without the co-laboring of the Holy Spirit with him. His mindset was, there's no ministry apart from the Spirit of my Father. Jesus of Nazareth would have considered it laughable to think that the fallen order of the material realm could be restored to the will of the Father without the working of the Father's Spirit. This would have been unthinkable a thought to him as for a natural man to think he could birth a baby without a woman. It was unthinkable to Jesus of Nazareth that the Father's Spirit would not move to perform the Father's will. He would first hear the instruction, that's the main thing, hear the instruction of the Father by the Spirit, then he would fully expect the Father's Spirit to perform the Father's will as he followed those instructions. In his mind, and in ours, I should say, what could be more simple? I hear, I obey, and he does. That's capiche. The mindset of Jesus of Nazareth was, he felt, I love this. Now listen, we're almost there. The mindset of Jesus of Nazareth was, he felt no obligation. No obligation, nor any compulsion to do anything apart from the instruction that he received from his Father by the Spirit. Well, I'll tell you, this will make you get this. Ooh, it'll take a burden off you. It'll take you'll just be so free. You'll be like, my God, I kept trying to please you. I kept trying to please you. And I don't have to have any compulsion except what I hear and what I see out of this place. The Son does nothing of himself. I do what I see. This is Jesus' mindset. I see my Father do. I say what I hear my Father saying. He understood that he was on the earth to do the will of the Father. He also understood that he was not on the earth to do his own will in the name of the Father. You can do that. In the name of Jesus, I'm doing this work in the name of... You can tag Jesus on there. You can hashtag him on there, but that doesn't mean he's the one that started it. That's not. It doesn't mean just because you use his name. Again, I'll read that. He also understood that he was not on the earth to do his own will in the name of the Father. There's a vast difference between those two thoughts. This thinking freed him from all programs that could be devised by the carnal mind. He felt no obligation to do work in the name of the Father. No, his work was more direct than that. He was literally the one through whom the Father worked. It was not his works in the name of the Father. It was the Father working through him. He was free to simply, I like just simple stuff. He was free to simply receive the Father's mind by the Spirit, then do what he saw and say what he heard. The mindset of Jesus was he felt no obligation nor any compulsion to venture forth into ministry until he had received the will, the plan, the mind, and the counsel of his Father in completeness by the Spirit. When he ventured forth to ministry, he considered not himself to be a worker for his Father, but rather he considered himself a vessel through whom the Father could work by the Father's Spirit. There's a vast difference between those two mindsets. Amen. We're right up, straight up almost. Let's all stand. Hallelujah. Did you get anything? Hallelujah. Praise God. Well, glory, I will see you all Wednesday night, and you'll be here because you'll be supporting. Renee had to leave early, had something, but he's going to be our this time only Wednesday night worship leader. Hallelujah. So let me bless you, Father. We thank you. We praise you. And by the way, again, if you're not filled with the Holy Ghost out there, all you have to do is say, first of all, if you're not born again, get born again. Ask Jesus into your life. Simply say, come into my life, forgive me of my sins, and wash me in your blood. Then the next step, do I have to be filled with the Spirit to get to heaven? No, you don't. We've never taught that. But we do teach this. All the benefits that you've heard this morning is taught through the Holy Spirit. Guidance, leading, direction, ministry, mindset, wisdom, understanding, all the things, the fruits, he will assist you in and guide you and lead you into all truth. So ask him. We teach a lesson on our discipleship training on how to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Go there. It's on the face page of our website. And you can, we got a prayer there. We pray with you to be filled with the Spirit. Father, I bless them now, and I give you all the glory and praise for this Sunday service. Take us into revival more than anything else. We love you face to face. We see you in that place in Jesus' name. Everybody said amen. God bless you.